It's very difficult to follow former Chairman Kovacic, and I've seen others do it around the world. He's an incredibly knowledgeable, engaging, thoughtful speaker. I actually just want to run out of here and go back to my office and start doing some of the stuff he's recommending. But I'll try and stay on track. Thank you very much to the Federal Trade Commission for inviting me to join today's important discussion. And of course, thanks to all of you for joining us today to talk about competition and consumer protection in the 21st century. So change, as we all know, is inevitable, and it's upon us. The rise of the digital economy in general, and e-commerce in particular, is a truly global phenomenon. More and more, the conduct we investigate is not constrained by borders. And when change happens, the question is not, how do we feel about it? The question is, how will we respond to it? Will we rise to the challenge? Will we seize the opportunities that come with it? These are questions that governments around the world are facing, and how we answer these questions will define our success going forward. We at the Canadian Competition Bureau have a long history, as former Chairman Kovacic pointed out, of cooperation with the FTC, as well as many other international competition authorities. But we must not rest on that foundation. We must continue to build on it and adapt to new realities. During today's digital age, cooperation between international competition authorities is more critical than ever before. We are in the midst of a transformative shift. For example, the giants of the taxi and accommodation industries don't actually own cars or property anymore. Instead, they are using technology to disrupt traditional business models and create digital platforms that connect users quickly and easily. As the Canadian Minister of Innovation, Science and Economic Development has rightly pointed out, the digital economy is the economy. This is the backdrop of competition and consumer protection law enforcement in the 21st century. Digital platforms are creating an economy built on collaboration. And if we want to keep pace, we'll need to continue to collaborate and find better ways to do so. So today I'd like to talk briefly about why international cooperation between authorities is so important. I'll discuss the benefits that it brings us and the tools we use to achieve it. I will end with some examples of cases where cooperation has been critical and we in Canada have benefited tremendously. Plus, without preempting the panel, I will consider a few ways that we might improve in the future. So to get us started, let's consider why it's so important that we cooperate. What are the drivers? The rise of the digital economy in general, and e-commerce in particular, as I've said, is a phenomenon globally. The number of digital buyers worldwide is expected to rise to over 2 billion by next year. That's approximately one quarter of the world's population buying online. And there are a growing number of jurisdictions with competition laws and authorities and consumer protection laws. As former Chairman Kovacic pointed out, when the International Competition Network first launched in 2001, it only had members from 14 different jurisdictions. Today it has 146 members. We have moved from theoretical discussions of enforcement cooperation to our current reality of regular cooperation between authorities. Now, not surprisingly, for us in Canada, collaboration and cooperation with the US authorities is particularly important. It developed naturally, given our shared border and our close economic and trade ties. The signing of the Canada-United States-Mexico Free Trade Agreement, or CUSMA as we call it in Canada, last year was very important. And once in force, it will serve to further strengthen our commercial relationship and the relationship between the competition and consumer authorities. So, a coordinated approach to the challenges the current digital age raises for competition and consumer protection law is critical for enforcers. And when we do cooperate, there are many benefits for us to reap. Increased detection and deterrence of anti-competitive conduct, efficiencies for both agencies and the business community, the sharing of best practices resulting in more effective investigations and better protection for consumers, and minimized risk and uncertainty for businesses and agencies, because when agencies cooperate around the world, outcomes are more consistent. And at the Bureau, that vital cooperation occurs on a broad spectrum, from extremely formal cooperation to informal avenues of working together. Informally, we exchange public information, theories of harm, and procedural information, such as the timing of investigative steps, and we conduct meetings and staff exchanges. In contrast, formal cooperation can include mutual legal assistance and the sharing of documents, data, and confidential information. For instance, competition policy principles are commonplace in Canada's free trade agreements that are being entered into in the modern day, like CUSMA, I already referred to, and they ensure that the benefits of trade liberalization are not offset by anti-competitive conduct. In criminal cases, mutual legal assistance treaties, or MLATs, are useful formal tools to gather evidence located in foreign jurisdictions. This formal cooperation allows enforcement agencies to share documents, affidavits, lend exhibits, and engage in search and seizure on one another's behalf. The Bureau has used the MLAT process to conduct searches in Canada on behalf of the United States Department of Justice, Antitrust Division, and to obtain important evidence from the United States for the advancement of our cases. Where confidential information is shared outside of MLATs, we often obtain waivers from the parties. But even without waivers, Section 29 of the Canadian Competition Act lets us share confidential information with other agencies for the administration or enforcement of the Competition Act, and of course where we have assurances of confidentiality. The Canada-US Cooperation Agreement, signed in 1995, has served as a high-level framework for our positive cooperative relationship. It sets out how the Bureau, the FTC, and the DOJ Antitrust Division will work together. We also have our Canada-US Positive Comity Agreement, allowing one country to defer to another in cases where conduct in one country creates anti-competitive effects in the other. And more recently, we established our best practices on cooperation in merger investigations, which is a public document that provides guidance to the business and legal community. This was based on years of merger review collaboration between the Bureau and the U.S. authorities. We've put this best practices document to good use. Recently, we worked with the FTC and the European Commission on the Linde Praxair transaction, where we obtained multiple remedies. We also worked closely recently with the U.S. DOJ on agricultural transactions, such as Bayer Monsanto and Dow DuPont. But one transaction that stands out in my mind for cooperation and collaboration is the Staples Office Depot merger in 2016. It exemplifies the deep and positive cooperation relationship that we have with the FTC. In that case, there was extensive sharing of data and evidence, including the FTC sharing their second request with us. We also seconded a Canadian Department of Justice lawyer to the FTC litigation team and had Bureau officials attend the FTC injunction hearing. As a result of this cooperation, the Bureau and the FTC were able to file simultaneous court challenges to the merger, and the parties ultimately abandoned the transaction. Going forward, I can assure you today that I will encourage Bureau merger staff to seize such opportunities for deep collaboration wherever possible. On the abuse of dominance side, Google comes to mind as a great example of our cooperation as well. The Bureau launched an inquiry in 2013 under our abuse of dominance provisions to investigate Google's conduct related to online search and search advertising as well as display advertising. During the course of our in-depth investigation, we worked with several international counterparts, including the FTC. We concluded, from a Canadian perspective, that Google used anti-competitive clauses in its AdWords application programming interface terms and condition. These clauses were intended to exclude rivals and negatively affected advertisers. Google removed the clauses, as many of you would be familiar, and committed to not reintroducing them or similar ones for a period of 5 years. These commitments were similar to those made here in the United States. Being able to readily review facts and evidence related to similar allegations against Google in the US context was of significant value to the Bureau's investigation. On the cartels side, we have our Nishikawa case, which resulted in Canada agreeing to have the United States Department of Justice proceed and take a guilty plea in the auto parts investigation, even though there was an impact in Canada. This demonstrated our commitment to positive comity between our two nations, and it showed how we can collaborate for efficient, effective outcomes. Let me turn to the area of deceptive marketing. Our legal framework and ability to assist and share information with our foreign counterparts has improved significantly in Canada with the enactment of Canada's anti-spam law, or CASL as we refer to it. CASL brought into force new express provisions allowing the Bureau to use our investigative powers under the Competition Act or the Criminal Code of Canada to assist foreign partners without us having to be conducting our own investigation. It grants these powers with the provision that information will only be used for that investigation or proceeding and will be kept confidential, similar to provisions in the US Safe Web Act. Although I'm unable to get into the details, recently, in response to an FTC request, the Bureau shared information obtained through formal powers with the FTC to assist them in an investigation. Similarly, the US Safe Web Act has been an incredibly valuable tool for gathering information in cross-border deceptive marketing cases. I know, and it's been mentioned several times this morning, the Safe Web Act is up for renewal soon, and I want to say unequivocally and on the record, the Bureau supports that renewal, and we are pleased, incredibly pleased, with how we've been able to use this valuable tool. The Bureau has used Safe Web requests to obtain information relevant to multiple Canadian investigations, as we did with our premium text messaging case, which was litigation against Canada's three largest wireless providers for conduct that was deceptive marketing practices. At our request, the FTC applied to the United States District Court for the District of Maryland for an order authorizing the FTC to obtain oral and documentary discovery from a U.S. company, Aegis Mobile. Subsequently, the U.S. District Court ordered Aegis to hand over documents to the FTC, enabling them to then share those records with the Bureau. This was, as I understand it, the first time an American court granted authorization to the FTC to conduct discovery of an American company to assist the Bureau. These events, the tremendous efforts that the FTC went to on behalf of the Canadian Competition Bureau, were of incredible assistance to the Bureau in advancing our case, which we were then able to resolve by consent agreements with the three largest wireless providers. And it's one of the key reasons that we are so supportive of the renewal of the Safe Web Act. The FTC and the Bureau are also involved in several cross-border regional partnerships related to combating mass marketing fraud, including the Toronto Strategic Partnership, the Alberta Partnership Against Cross-Border Fraud, and the Pacific Partnership Against Cross-Border Fraud. These working relationships, focused on sharing intelligence and cooperating in mass marketing fraud investigations, have frequently led to early collaboration between the Bureau and the FTC. However, communication on cross-border enforcement outside of these partnerships could allow for even broader cooperation between the Bureau and the FTC. More cooperation at the working level and informal discussions on trends, intelligence, opportunities to coordinate investigations, and dialogue early on in the investigative process could make formal information sharing tools even more effective. To that end, we have been participating in regular merger team leader meetings with our U.S. partners since 2011. These team leader meetings were so successful that we've expanded them and have had similar meetings with team leaders on merger review with Brazil, Australia, China, the European Union, and the United Kingdom. We're looking forward to the first abuse of dominance or unilateral conduct team meetings with the FTC and DOJ this coming June. Like the FTC, we also participate in international staff interchanges and host officials from countries around the world. We have had several successful outbound interchanges to the FTC over the years. And of course, we would welcome the opportunity to host a member of the FTC at the Bureau going forward. Might suggest you don't come in the winter. It was actually snowing in Ottawa on Friday. So this networking and the people-to-people linkages such informal cooperation creates builds rapport and eases international cooperation because relationships and trust really do matter. Cooperation among authorities is critical to finding common approaches to tackle global anti-competitive conduct. And through the various tools we have in place, we can continually reap the benefits of working together with our global partners. And together is the key word here. As Henry Ford once said, if everyone is moving forward together, then success takes care of itself. That's true for us too. Strong working relationships are a hallmark of a successful organization in our digital and globalized world. And competition and consumer protection authorities are no exception. Now, let me end by once again thanking the FTC for hosting what I'm sure will be an interesting dialogue over the next 2 days, and I'm really looking forward to joining our panel discussion now. Thank you very much for your attention. Enjoy the hearings.